God. God gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Oh, thanks be to God.
Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a series entitled Receiving and Ministering Healing. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free tape of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
He comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. They were howling. There was noise. And when he was come in, he said to them, "Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. They ridiculed him. They derided him. Now, he's not saying that her soul was asleep. There's no such thing as soul sleep. Body sleep. The body's asleep. How many know it's going to wake up? Yeah. At the trump. Yeah. The bodies are going to come up. But no, people say, well, so-and-so, you know, all those people out there in the cemetery. No, those people are not out there. They're long gone. They left when their body died. They're long gone. Either up or down. Their bodies are asleep. They're not there. Their bodies are asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. When he had put them all out. Friends, the rougher it gets and the more serious it gets, the more selective you need to be about your company. Did you get this? The rougher it gets and the more serious it gets. Now, I know this can be uncomfortable. And I've made mistakes in this area myself. But I've learned over the years that there are times when it's so serious, you can't be thinking about, well, maybe they're going to get their feelings hurt if I don't let them be involved and if I don't let them come in. Yeah, but it can be a matter of life and death. Amen. And the rougher it gets and the more serious it gets, the more selective you should be about who you talk to about this and about who you go around and who you allow to be around you.
Amen.
Because environment makes a difference.
Yes.
And people in a place affect the environment of that place.
Right.
Don't you think they don't?
Yep.
If they don't, if it doesn't make any difference who's here, if God can just move and things can happen no matter who's here or what they believe, why didn't Jesus just walk in the middle of that howling, screaming bunch and ignore them and get the job done? Why did he find it necessary? He who's anointed with the Spirit without measure find it necessary to get all these people out of here. This is not the only instance of this. There are times when people were sick and he'd take them by the hand and lead them away from the crowd. Lead them out of town.
Yep.
Remember that? Take them out of the whole town and minister to them. Why? Because the whole town was full of unbelief. People that's laughing and making fun of the things of God. People scoffing and making little snide and sneering remarks about healing and about miracles. You do not want them around you when you're endeavoring to believe for your life. I don't care if they are relatives. I don't care if they are friends. If they don't understand enough, it's not time for you to teach them. You're fighting for your life.
Hmm?
You can teach them another time. Right now, the business is you living, so you can teach somebody else. Or whoever it is, your wife, your husband, whoever it is. I know an uncle of mine that I love dearly, had cancer in the last stages. And I had already ministered to one of my uncles, a similar case. He had cancer of the lungs, and we ministered to him. And he came back from death and was healed and went back to his job and worked and lived for years.
Amen.
I mean, they said it was hopeless. I remember the day when it broke. We'd been talking to him about the Word, and he was virtually bedfast, just skin and bone, cancer of the lungs, terrible. Doctors thought he'd have been dead a week ago. And he came and walked by the door facing. They were amazed to see him out of bed. He was at home. And he held on to the door facing and he looked at me. He said, "Keith, I'm living. I'm living and not going to die." Man, I shouted because I knew in my spirit he wasn't just talking words. I knew he believed it in his spirit. Some of his relatives in the room started crying. "Oh, it's affected his mind. He don't know what he's saying." If it was my house, would have begun to clear some folks out. Wasn't my house. I didn't have authority there like that. Unless they had given it to me, and they hadn't. Now see, Jesus could clear this man's house because Jairus was backing him. Amen. Yeah. Do you know what would have happened if Aunt, you know, Mildred and Uncle Bob and Reverend Jones had said, "Now, Jairus, you're not going to let him put us out of here like this, are you?" And he'd have said, well, now, no, Jesus, you can't. These are good people. You can't put..." You know what would have happened? Jesus would have left. But he had Jairus backing. Yeah. Jairus is the one that asked him to come. Yeah. Jairus is the one that's still tagging along behind him when he says, "Don't be afraid." And when Jesus says, "Everybody clear out," and they look at Jairus, he goes, "Yeah." You understand what I'm talking about? He has his backing. You can only do what people let you do in their life. In a congregation, in a church, the ministers can only do what the people let them do. Think about that. With the faith, with the belief. Fear will shut you down. Faith will open the door and allow more to happen. This other uncle, I was primed. It only happened a year or so later. And I thought, well, we've already seen this. Glory to God, we're going to see another healing here. Other side of the family. I sent tapes, same thing I did with this uncle. I went and visited when I could. It was several states away. And while I was sitting with him, he talked pretty good. And I thought, well, okay, maybe he's getting his. He got worse. He got worse. He got worse. He called and said he died. Aggravated me. I'm a fighter. I don't like to lose. How about you? I ain't in this to lose. And in God, you don't have to lose. But I have enough sense to know God didn't fail me. I knew that. And I had enough sense to know to not start saying, well, you know, maybe it was the will of God for some reason that we just don't understand. No, I knew better than that. Problems on the receiving end. I didn't know what. But at the funeral, or before the funeral, we were there, and some of his relatives were talking to me, "Thank you for coming and visiting, and you know, trying to help." Well, I wasn't trying to help. I was trying to, let's live and not die. And then they went on to tell me. Didn't know what they were telling me. But as soon as I'd leave, other people would come in and ask him, "What kind of casket would you like to be buried in?" And he'd tell them, "What kind of songs do you want sung, honey, at your funeral?" I said, "What's wrong with that?" "Everything. Everything. That's not believing to live. That's planning on dying." Did you hear me? He was talking one thing with me. But then when somebody else came in, he just talked with them too. Does it make any difference who you're around? Your environment. It made a difference to Jesus. He didn't try to finish this with these people in the house. And if anybody could have done it in spite of their unbelief, he should have been able to wade through there and do it. But he didn't. And if he didn't, we can't. Right? I mean, he ran them all out. He said, "Clear this place." Why? Because their unbelief. They're laughing at what he said. They're making fun. When they're not mourning and crying and sorrow, they're laughing and ridiculing and making fun. That's gross unbelief. He got them all out. And he took the father and mother. And you know, he took the three, Peter, James, and John. Why didn't he take the rest of the 12? He loved them. But friends, when the jig is up, it's not time for people that are wondering and wavering. It's time for people that you know are at least as full of faith as you are and preferably better. Huh? Time for people around you. You know, you're sure they're persuaded it's God's will to do this at least as much as you, preferably more.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yep.
Somebody on the fence, you ain't got time for that.
No.
You don't have to be rude and ugly. You can just say, well, y'all please leave. We have some things we must do. Yeah, well, I wanna. No, no, it's not an option. I'm asking you to leave. You can smooth feathers later.
Yeah.
At least somebody will be here to smooth feathers.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't mean. He just knows what it takes to get the job done. And he walked in there with mama and with daddy and his three sidekicks. These are the three that prayed with him a little further out in the garden. You remember that? These are the three that were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that? He knows where these three are. They're not wondering and a wavering and a doubting and a snoozing in the background. He knows they're right there with their faith. Right there. Come on, Jesus. Come on. We're going to see this. This is going to happen. They're right there, expecting with every fiber of their being. Mom and daddy may not know exactly what, but they've had enough faith to make it this far. And that's enough to let Jesus in. And he reaches down and he does what Jairus asked him to do. He took her hand, which is a form of laying on of hands. Took her hand. And he held her hand and he spoke to her. Cold, dead body. Talitha, Cumi. Which is being interpreted, damsel, little girl, we know she was 12 years old. I say to you, arise, get up. Oh, friend, can you see it in your mind's eye? She's laying there cold, stiff, blue, dead. Her spirit comes back from Abraham's bosom. Whoo! Comes back into her body. She goes, starts breathing again. He says, go ahead and get up now. Get up. She gets up. She's raised from the dead. This is miraculous, friends, because decomposition has already begun to occur in the body. God's miracle-working power reversed all that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And that's not all. Her disease was bad enough it killed her. If it hadn't been healed, she'd have died again immediately. So she's healed. Raised from the dead, corruption reversed, disease healed. Standing there, going, Mama? Daddy? Where have I been? He says, you need to give her something to eat.
Amen.
Now here we see the natural and the supernatural. Her systems have been shut down, not functioning. They need to be kick-started. Let's get some of Mama's dumplings in there. Huh? Some of Daddy's barbecue. Jumpstart this thing. There's a natural side and there's a spiritual side. It's not either or, it's both. God will give us direction on both. Can you say amen?
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching entitled Jairus' Daughter, you may write to More Life Ministries, Post Office Box 1010, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you may call our offices at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. The offer number is R725. That's R725. And the tape will be sent to you postage paid. For more information about this ministry and an itinerary of upcoming meetings, please visit our website at www.morelifenow.org. Also, if you are visiting in our area, we invite you to attend service with us at Faith Life Church in beautiful Branson, Missouri. Service times are Friday evening at 7:30 and Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.